Technorama episode 505. We don't take plastic.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Where can I recycle this worthless piece of plastic?
Over there, in the media corner.
I already threw out the I in the word plastic.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
I think our audio clips have the hiccups tonight.
I know, right?
I think I meant I threw out the letter I in plastic. I think I said word. Word to your mother. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're returning, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and joining me as always, right over there, is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am here.
You are here. That's what it says on the map. Every time you stop and read the map, it says you
well,
are
Google
here.
Google keeps telling me, too. You're here. No, I'm good, man. How about you?
I'm feeling pretty good. It's been a long and productive weekend. Wow.
Has it?
I'm going to have to watch the audio clips tonight. Something about the Wi-Fi between the iPad that plays the audio clips and the computer that actually engages them. Very strange tonight. Well, let's begin with some voicemail. We have some feedback from some listeners. I just like playing the music.
Yeah, any excuse to play that music. Letters.
Any excuse.
Oh, we get your letters every day.
Ding, 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 ding.
Mailman, mail today. Reach right out and pull one out. Oh, letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy.
Remember that guy that was on TV shows a long time ago, and he goes, "I'll get right on it," you know, pop his mouth. What was that? Who was that guy? You remember him?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
We have one from Crazy Joe. He has some interesting facts.
Chuck, Craig, it's Crazy Joe from Megapodzilla, and I'm calling back again with a late voicemail.
Yay!
For those who don't know,
he sounds angry.
That would be everyone except Chuck and Craig. I called and left this voicemail a couple weeks ago. Then I got a text from Chuck telling me, "Hey, you left a voicemail, but it got cut off, so we don't know what you had to say. Do you want to call back?" And by that point, I didn't remember what it was I had called in about.
And we don't remember
so
what we said.
Several days just to reflect and try to remember what the heck did I call in. But I got the answers. And here it is. So, Several episodes ago now,
yes,
because it's been a couple weeks, someone referenced the crying Indian in the commercial. The Indian with the tear rolling down his cheek. Don't remember who mentioned it, don't remember how it came up, but it got mentioned. That is why I called in.
Yeah.
I find that guy very, very interesting. I'm a little fascinated by him, and I wanted to share some trivia with you that you may know, then again you may not. That guy in the commercial, the crying Indian in the commercial, is one of the most famous Native American actors in Hollywood history. His name is Iron Eyes Cody. He's been in a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows, usually plays a Native American. And
he's in
here's
the
why I find it fascinating. People thought he was a Native American. Billed himself as a Native American. His screen name was Iron Eyes Cody. But what's fascinating is he's not a Native American. He's Italian. So, I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting little bit of trivia. One of the most famous Native American actors in Hollywood was actually Italian. Maybe it's not as interesting as I think it is. But that was what I called to share with you. Hope it was worth the wait. Love you guys. Megapods, ding, checks out.
Oh, yeah. He's providing his own ding.
He's providing his own ding. Here, we'll do the ding. There. More correctly, he's actually of Sicilian heritage. After he called in, I looked this up. Iron Eyes Cody, born Espera Oscar De Corti, was a Sicilian-American actor. He was actually born in Kaplan, Louisiana. He portrayed Native Americans in Hollywood films. He also played a Native American shedding a tear about the litter in one of the country's most well-known television PSAs, Keep America Beautiful. In 1996, Cody's half-sister said that he was of Italian ancestry, but he denied it. Sicilian. Okay. So you can read all about it on Wikipedia. Iron Eyes Cody. Interesting stuff. I had never heard that before. That is a new one on me. Thank you for sharing, Joe.
Seems like I kind of remember it, but not enough to say I did. So thanks, Joe, for correcting my history.
Yeah, ruining my childhood.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Hey, you going to pick up that garbage? That's why you didn't talk.
It's kind of like Mel Brooks being the Jewish Indian.
Or yogurt.
Yogurt. Hey.
May the Schwartz be with you.
Adorable.
Yeah. White people. Oh.
Oi.
Oi. Oh, sorry.
You got to get it right. We also have a voicemail from John Miller Jr., who is a very valuable
this
listener.
This message is for Chuck and Craig. This is John Miller Jr. I've been an avid listener. Love the show.
Thank you.
That is great. So keep up the good work. And, you know, Rollo Tomasi, Chuck knows what I'm talking about. Have a nice day.
With such a distinctive last name, there's only a few places that it comes up outside of our family. And he threw that one out. That is a famous scene from L.A. Confidential. I believe the movie was in 96 or 97. I have to double-check on that. I haven't seen the complete movie, but I've been pointing to that video clip a number of times. who's the... Oh, it's escaping me. James Cromwell? Did he play Zefram Cochran in First Contact?
Yeah.
Okay. He plays in that scene. Very... It's a very short scene. It's only a couple minutes long. It was like, holy catfish, what happened there? So it makes me want to watch the rest of the movie. At some point, I will. Thank you, John Miller Jr., for that. There's also the other one that keeps coming up is Peter Tomasi, the comic book artist. And maybe we'll run into him at a Comic-Con or other convention at some point.
He's probably been coming to Dragon Con all these years, and you could have just gone.
Yeah. Hey, I could go as him if I just put that on my badge, and then I'll get all kinds of credentials.
Maybe. You're lucky. He's probably, committed some kind of murder, and they're trying to track him down, and you got the badge that says Peter Tomasi on it.
We found him. Wait, when did this happen?
Yeah. Whoa.
And then it'll be like one of those sci-fi shows where you slip into someone else's body and you don't know anything.
It's just a typo. It looks like Peter, but it means Chuck.
It's pronounced Throat Wobbler Mangrove. Luxury yacht. Anyway, couldn't resist a Monty Python reference. There had to be one tonight.
Right.
How many steps do you take when going up or down? No, upstairs. Yorga writes in 1 to 3.
One to three.
I hope that's consistent. Sometimes he takes one and sometimes he takes three, but not in the same staircase. 1, 3, 2, 1, 1, 3, 2. That would be horribly.
Wow.
That would break my stride. I used to regularly take two when I was younger.
I've done that before. Yeah.
Yeah. And
not necessarily going down.
Down, I think I could still handle two quite easily.
I mean, well, it depends. I could, but
I'm an older guy now. I'm just not in that big of a hurry. And my knees don't
It's hard to get your walker down there.
It's
hard to get your walker. We're going
to. The scooter doesn't do so well.
Yeah, and you got that little thing going. Yeah, you got that little chair that goes along the wall.
What movie? There were a few movies with that in it. I don't remember. Anyway, Digital Dan Hook writes in. He says 2 steps at a time since being tall. Yeah, that does seem to be more of a thing with taller people. I'd say anyone over about 5'10" will take 2 steps at a time regularly.
And see, imagine the feat that I have to accomplish. If I take 2 steps, I mean, I'm not necessarily, I'm getting a little height challenged a bit.
vertically challenged people. And that is a Gary Numan song. Let's rewrite that as a politically correct song.
People got,
vertically challenged people got no reason. Anyway,
for today's politically correct crowd.
Right. Finally, we asked a show or two ago, what movie would you like to forget and rewatch? Yorga writes in Jurassic Park. I don't know that we ever threw in our contributions on this answer or this question. What movie would you like to forget and rewatch?
I think Star Wars was so cool. The first time I saw it, I'd like to forget it and rewatch it.
Episode 4?
Yes, the original.
But you'd have to forget all of them for that to work. It wouldn't do you any good to go back and watch New Hope and go, whoa, that now everything makes sense.
Imagine the great long weekend I'd have catching up. Wait, forget a whole franchise.
Right.
What about you?
I was going to say Lord of the Rings, but then I just kind of shot down my own argument. You'd have to forget the whole trilogy.
No, don't worry. All right, don't worry about the sequels. Just say which one, Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah. It'd be fun to just relive that whole adventure, especially now that it's all out. Relive it start to finish.
I will say that I'm probably close to you in that same boat because I thought watching Lord of the Rings the first time was pretty amazing. So, hey, or maybe something a little more silly like the Holy Grail.
No, that one you have to be initiated into. It's kind of like Napoleon Dynamite. First few times people said, you know, talking about the Holy Grail, they'd be reciting lines and you're like, well, you know, it's out of context. Doesn't make sense.
Stop spoiling it for me.
You have to warm up to that one. Cause the first time you watch it, you're like, I don't know that it was exactly all that funny, but the more you watch it, the funnier it gets. And then
it's one of those movies you go, I think I'm supposed to like it. It grows on you, right?
It does. I think we mentioned Kentucky Fried Movie is another one of those. You know, the Zucker Brother movies. Some of them are just stupid, funny, stupid. You know,
Airplane, right. Yeah. Well, Airplane was kind of fun, stupid the first time around.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it had the same institutional value that the Holy Grail would.
It's funny from the get-go, you know, kind of like Deadpool. Deadpool gets funnier, but it started out funny. It wasn't a cult classic that you sort of wrapped yourself into and went, okay, now that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference between striking you funny the first time, you're like, oh my God, I got to see that more because there was so much I was laughing at that I missed versus, okay, I laughed at a couple things this time and you laugh at a dozen things the next time and pretty soon you're laughing the whole way through and then you're reciting all the lines.
As I'm saying, something like Holy Grail, it took a couple of rewatches, but Airplane was just silly, period. And you know, I don't know, maybe just because it was an American comedy, I was able to catch it. You know, it was funnier the first time around.
Hey, there could be the American-British thing going on there. Yeah, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of British humor isn't funny to Americans right off the bat.
Yeah. You know,
I'm still waiting to laugh at The Crown.
That's not a comedy.
Oh, well, that explains it.
Then you're doing it right.
I kept waiting for John Lithgow to go into Lord Farquaad mode.
Oh, my God. That would have been funny.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Never mind. Let's do the history thing.
Yes. Continue.
On this day in history for April 26, 2017. Wow. I just about wrecked my voice on that one.
Don't get choked up there.
Hold on. Because this is being so persnickety, I'm not going to go through the whole 6-minute song on that. Let's do it again. On this day in history for April 26, 2017, this is the 116th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 249 days remaining in 2017, unless you're using a different calendar. It was on this date in 1564 that playwright William Shakespeare is baptized in Stratford-upon-Avon, Warwickshire, England. Date of actual birth is unknown.
Really? Okay. It's also on this date in 1607 that English colonists make landfall in Cape Henry, Virginia.
You gotta wonder if that was intentional or not.
Yeah, by accident. Oh,
we grounded another ship. They're going to kill us. Yeah. On April 26, 1803, thousands of meteorite fragments fall from the skies in L'Agle, France. I can't do French. An event that convinces European scientists that meteors do exist.
The Duke of York weds Lady Elizabeth Lyon at Westminster Abbey on this date in 1923.
Hey, there's a nice hook into The Crown.
I think there you go. Yeah.
I think that was, anyway, that wasn't the Elizabeth we know. She was coronated in 57.
Coroned.
I go to Mexico and get coronated. Right. April 26, 1933, the Gestapo, the official secret police force of Nazi Germany, is established.
Also today in 1962, NASA's Ranger 4 spacecraft crashes into the moon.
Isn't that an IPA?
Was that intentional? Ranger?
Yes, it was. I believe it was intentional. Yeah, another oops.
Yeah.
Maybe they won't know. 31 years ago today, a nuclear reactor accident occurs at Chernobyl nuclear power plant in the Soviet Union, which is now the Ukraine, creating the world's worst nuclear disaster. Ouchie. Oh, come on. Music.
Oh, wait.
Your turn.
Oh. My turn? Where am I at?
Happy birthday?
Happy birthday goes out on this day, too. Emperor of ancient Rome, Marcus Aurelius, born on this date in 121.
Nice.
121.
Nice job on the name. British physicist Owen Williams Richardson was born 138 years ago today.
And Rudolf Hess, German Nazi leader, was born on the same date in 1894.
German flying ace Ernst Udet, born on this date in 1896.
Seismologist and mathematician Charles Franz Richter was born today.
It's a Richter scale.
Richter, of course. As soon as I read it, I realized that. Francis Richter was born 117 years ago today.
Silly boy, Richter was the first in command on the Enterprise.
As soon as I said, number one on the Enterprise was born.
Well, better you be called number one than number two. Born April 26, 1916, leading exponent. I was thinking he's got like some 2 to the 4th power.
Yeah,
leading exponent of the autogyros, Ken Wallace.
Actress, comedian, singer, dancer, writer. Cara Burnett was born on this date in 1933.
Were we just talking about tugging on your earlobe a little while ago?
I know. That's actually what I was thinking.
You weren't even reading these.
I know.
Also turning 84 is American physicist Arno Allen Penzias, the famous half of Penzias and Wilson.
And English drummer and member of Duran Duran, Roger Taylor, is 57.
Wouldn't his last name be Duran?
No.
They should have just called that band Taylor.
Taylor, I know, right?
No, Tyler? I can't remember. Slovenian model, wife of Donald Trump and First Lady of the United States, Melania Trump, was born in the state in 1970. That makes her how old? 47.
Melina. Italian ESA astronaut Samantha Cristoforetti is 40 today.
Happy birthday to listeners. We're going to go ahead a little bit in time since we won't have a show for a couple of weeks. Happy birthday on April 29th to Shepherd Tom from Outside the Known Universe. That's pretty cool. When you get back in, let us know when you're back in town.
Yeah, he's
Timothy Carr is also on the 19th. Julio Diaz from Tijuana is April 30th, as was my best friend from fourth grade, who is no longer with us. May 1st is the 12th birthday of Technorama Podcast. Yay! Happy birthday to us.
And we're not even doing a show.
Yeah, we're gonna take the night off and celebrate.
Yeah.
K.L. Wright on the 3rd. Leon also on the 3rd. Come on back, band. they're going on strike on us.
No kidding.
Joe Mikowski, host of On the Podcast, on the 5th. The 6th has 3 birthdays. Amber Pace, not really a listener, but mother and wife of listeners. Secondhand Technorama. It can be dangerous to your health.
She's continuing to produce our listeners.
Bill Barber is also on the 6th. Steve, she's producing. She's growing our audience.
One listener at a time.
Birth at a time. Thank you, Amber. Where was I? Bill Barber on the 6th. Steve Bickle on the 6th. Curtis Parrish on the 8th. Amanda Hug and Kiss, ha ha ha, on the 12th. And the 14th is JPCJ.
And not can mentioned we, as IP Freeland.
Can we make that stand for something? Just pause Chuck's jokes.
Yes, I agree.
That's it for Odyssey. We made it right on time. Listen to the band. If you want to get on the Techno Realm birthday calendar, go to chuckchat.com/wiki because that'll get you there. April 26, 2017 is the history. Done.
Yay. Phew. The well-oiled machine.
12 years of rust.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We get it well-oiled, then we go on break for a couple more weeks. This should work out well.
We're proving experience does not equal anything.
Impending news, everyone.
Absolutely not. The impending news is that if you missed it this last week, Plastic, which was supposed to be yet another Universal credit card. It was a Kickstarter. Was it Kickstarter funded or was it just open funded?
I think they were kind of doing their own little funding thing. I don't think it was on Kickstarter, but they sure did advertise like crazy unless they were just pushing it to me. I don't know if I was just their demographic, but it was.
And I had done this before with Coin. Coin was about $50. Plastic was a little more expensive.
Wait, but explain what it is.
Plastic is a universal credit card that it's the size and shape of an actual credit card. It had the chip built in. It had a big, nice e-paper display across the whole bottom. So it would display all the numbers and your name and whether it was a Visa or an American Express or whatever.
Touch screen also, right?
What's that?
Was it a touch screen also?
There was some sort of touch to wake up thing, I think is what it was.
Yeah, I thought you could change cards on the...
Yeah.
Anyway.
And there are some others that are still out there that are under development. They raised $9 million for the R&D. And as of April 21st or 20th, I can't remember what the actual date was, they closed up shop. Gone. They were very close to production. They needed, what was it, another $3.5 million to get into production. They had a buyer on the hook. Reel them in. Not a buyer, but a financer. What do you call that? Venture capitalist.
Venture capitalist.
For about $6.5 million, and at the last second, they pulled out. So Ryan Marquis, CEO, had no money left, and those of us who gave our cash, it's gone. So
I was an evangelist.
I made the video. I made the final cut. I was supposed to get one of these and go out and say, look how wonderful they are. But they were plagued with delay after delay after delay. And number of times when they would go live on Facebook, people were saying, how do I get my money back? And I said, you know, stick with it. And I stuck with it. And unfortunately, it fell flat.
Which sucks. And I'm with you on Coin. I thought it was going to be great. And it kind of worked, but...
I still use my Coin. I use it for loyalty cards. I go to the gas pump and... I get my 30 cents off on gas.
I tried to use mine on Shell and it didn't work.
Oh.
So it depends on the reader. Some of them work, some of them don't.
And that's the thing about these credit cards is there are so many different readers and there are so many different vendors and banks that you have to make agreements with. This is no small task. But what it does in my mind is damage the whole crowdsourcing fundraising concept between Pebble going out. They were the Kickstarter poster child in my mind. They started small, they went big, and you could buy these things in Best Buy and the Pebble watches were doing great. Oh. They were ready to come out with a second generation and then poof, they're gone.
Yeah, I think Pebble was more of a victim of their own success to a point. I mean, they were small, but from the success that they had, they couldn't quite finish going over the finish line, so to speak.
But, well, apparently Plastic is too. And, mm-hmm. and these were some of the bigger projects that were out there in the crowdsourcing ecosphere. And it really makes me, I mean, Kickstarter and GoFundMe have to be squirming right now. Because if their showcase products are not making it to market, they're going to be going, people are going to lose faith. I've lost faith. I am really reluctant to fund any further projects. The other one, I've only done about 3 or 4 of these things, and none of them have come to market. The other one was Dr. Demento's Under the Smogberry Trees. Folded up. Like, I think that one was for licensing. It's like, come on, people.
You know, well, I paid for the Pebble Time too, and I was like waiting. That was the last thing they needed to ship. Yeah. They didn't make it. So I was a little disappointed with that. The other thing that I tried to fund on Kickstarter was the Heroes Con documentary. Heroes Con's been around for many, 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 many years, and they had a, you know, they got a history, and there was supposed to be a documentary for it, so I paid for it. And I saw a cut of it last year, but not, I didn't get my DVD. So whatever happened to that, I don't know. I'll tell you what,
buried in the desert near Alamogordo, New Mexico.
Beside the ET cartridge.
Just another layer down.
But I have to, it wouldn't be fair if I didn't mention that I did pay for the MST3K Kickstarter, and that was wildly successful, I think.
That's true. I somehow missed that one, but I'm glad that one did come through.
I was like, dude, you got, this was your, I can't believe you didn't get in on it.
I did not. That's all right.
Hey, but now I get to carry the card.
You can't beat the original, Craig. You can't beat the original.
I know. Hey, that's all right. But I do have.
And my shirt signed by TV's Frank.
That's true.
We'll have to add Grant's signature to that shirt now someday, won't we?
That's right. Oh, where'd I put my card at? I got it right here. Oh, yeah. So here you go. I got a. Here's my Revival League card.
Ooh. Ooh, it's already laminated. I had to laminate my own.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
They stepped up their game.
Yeah. What was the, I have to look up the letter that came with the card, but I can pull it up real quick. It was funny because I liked the person, the little touch into it, and in a very MST3K form.
Cool.
It said something like, display where applicable. You go, instructions for using your revival card, remove from,
instructions.
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay.
It says, for the card, you know, it's on a letter and you pull the card off. It says move card from letter, insert card into pocket or wallet, show as needed.
show everywhere.
Yeah, but that I wish I had gone in more. It's not that I didn't really want to, but, I was limited on my personal funds at the time, so I got in on a lower level. I wish I'd paid a lot more for MST3K than I did.
I'm just bummed. Plastic did not make it. That had such potential. I have to wonder, somebody out there owns some patents on this stuff. Those are still worth some money. So maybe. I know we're entering into the era of touchless pay with Google Wallet and Apple Pay and whatnot, but... You know, my mom's not going to walk up to a counter. She barely owns a smartphone and understand touchless pay. We're not there yet. Credit cards aren't going to disappear overnight. You know, it's not like some of the other media that we've seen. I mean, look at business cards. People have been trying to get rid of business cards with things like bump and other whatnot.
Well,
and I still bring business cards to meetings and I still exchange business cards. And when I get business cards, I scan them into Evernote.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I scan them and toss them or put them somewhere. But I cannot carry, in my mind, what's the point in carrying a universal credit card that's not necessarily universal, like coin? I still got to carry my wallet, so why not just carry the card that's in the wallet? What's the point?
It slims about 2 or 3 cards out of my wallet, so I'll keep going.
I don't really have any cards. I just got my debit card, my gas card. I don't have much. So.
I will admit, though, touchless pay has the advantage of your credit card doesn't expire. Yeah, if you hook something up to PayPal, I fell into this trap. Dave Slusher gave us both crap about it this week. He goes, I was looking over my Patreon members, and you and Craig are on the declined list or denied list. What did it say? We were in bad standing with Dave's Patreon.
I'll settle up with him. You know what happens is sometimes I just don't have enough funds in the PayPal account.
mine is hooked up to the PayPal credit card, but the credit card expired in February. I didn't get any notifications. So well, I just said, I don't think I've got it. I'm hooking it right up into the PayPal account and be done with it. So it'll siphon off. Fortunately, the incoming flow is better than the outgoing flow.
Wait a minute. Maybe I need to check my PayPal credit card. Actually, you know, PayPal is going to be part of Android Pay soon. You'll be able to log it in.
Really?
Log into it. Yeah.
The other thing I found out about PayPal is they have this thing called PayPal.me. Have you seen that?
Yeah, where it's like your personal address.
It is. It's kind of cool. I can say, hey, Craig, go to paypal.me/Chuck Tomasi, and you can say, how much money do you want to send Chuck? I'll send him $50. Bing, and it's done.
Yeah.
Very easy. You don't have to say, go to PayPal, log in, send to this email address, blah, 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 blah. So very nice a way to receive fundage.
And before we move on, we better move on.
We're at the 30-minute mark now. We've been through one whole story.
Well, talking about the failed Kickstarters.
Yeah.
In all fairness, Pebble did refund the people that that didn't get their product. I got my money back, and a lot of people did. So I think their intention was to get everybody back. So I think everybody got their money back.
The plastic one stung. If you are out there and you are a plastic funder or have gone into a crowdfunded project that didn't pan out, let us know. Call us on the listener line, 707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you, or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. Get in touch with us. We want to hear your story and what you think. Or if you've been in one that's been successful, let us know about that as well. Because right now, I've got a bitter taste in my mouth, and I'm not likely to fund much in the near future. And my CFO is in agreement with me.
Yeah.
All right. In other news, we have some remarkable pictures from where Curiosity landed on Mars. There is an image of a crater with NASA's junk still in it. Not that kind of junk. The leftovers of the rocket.
I wasn't saying anything.
When NASA's Opportunity... I said Curiosity. I apologize. When NASA's Opportunity rover landed on Mars in 2004, it settled in the bottom of a crater and... in an interplanetary hole-in-one shot that would make even a golf champion jealous. When the rover trundled out of its unexpected hole, it left behind its landing platform. Now, 13 years later, we've caught our best glimpse of the historic landing site and the crap NASA left behind. This image was captured by NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, the MRO, on April 10th, 2017. Eagle Crater... and the discarded landing platform can be seen at the top right. Also, I think it's a little further down in the article. I don't know if I threw this one in. Prior to scooting off, Opportunity managed to take this rather... where is it? Didn't I put that image on there? No, I probably just put the craters. Okay. Well, it took a picture of its little landing pad. And there's a lot of electronics left behind on that thing. That was the one where it bounced and bounced and bounced and bounced and then took off.
And you don't actually see it, but Mark Watney's walking up to it on the right hand side.
To go salvage what he can. Yeah.
Yeah.
I
see a gear, a cog. All right.
I got a circuit, a Zener diode. Sorry, Beavis and Butthead reference.
Hey, I always thought that was cool. That whole platform, the way that whole thing would just, it bounced. It was like that balloon triangle shape.
Yep.
And it bounced and whichever way it landed, it would open and it would right itself. That was pretty smart.
Ingenious. I still am in favor of the sky crane technique.
No, I think that's great. I'm just saying this design in itself was pretty smart.
Yep. All right. We also, this last week, we had a lot of marches for science in the U.S. because funding seems to be cut. Yes. I was going to scavenge a bunch of clips out of Thomas Dolby's song and play those. I was so tempted because yesterday I did hear She Blinded Me with Science. Anyway, there were also a number of marches in other countries as well. In London, governments may govern nationally, but scientists must work globally by requirement as the folks who establish human truths based on evidence. So while scientists took to the streets in Washington, D.C. this past week, marchers in 600 cities globally joined them. Thank you very much. A crowd of 700,000 marched from London's Science Museum to Parliament Square in the shadow of Big Ben. Donald Trump might not be the... or he, he might not be the president there. It's like, he might not be the president. When did I miss that? He might not be the president, but solidarity, Brexit woes, and general love of evidence-based facts drew the excited crowd. Oh, and Doctor Who, a.k.a. Peter Capaldi, was there.
Which is cool in itself.
That's pretty cool. So thank you very much for your support of that. I had friends who were doing this in Wisconsin with signs.
Really? I didn't know that there was, I don't know if any, I didn't really go looking if were any of the marches here in this area, but I did wear my Pluto shirt.
Not the one from Disney, right?
No, from us when we went to the observatory.
Did you buy a shirt?
I did. Lowell Observatory shirt. Yes, I did. Wore it out by now.
Okay. I don't remember that. I remember making the video of the coins going in slow motion. But anyway.
It's brown. It's purple. It says I exist. No, I made that point.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with some... What do we got? We got Media Corner, and Media Corner coming up.
Hey, by the way, I think the actual quote is, I orbit, therefore I exist.
I like that. you've just about worn out the shirt, but you can't remember what it says.
No, it doesn't say that. It just says Lowell Observatory has this Pluto, and that's it.
All right, we'll be right back. Stick with us.
This is Ronald D. Moore from Battlestar Galactica, and you're listening to Technorama.
It's going to be a short break because Chuck didn't set up the clips.
I know, that was funny. I heard, I went, oh, crap, what's going on?
Yeah, Craig can hear me when we're on mute.
Yeah.
All right, in the Media Corner, before we get in the Media Corner, let's thank our wonderful patrons. So we'll play the Patreon music. Thank you very much to these people. I think we need to invest in something that plays the music a little better. Thank you to our patrons, Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, Dennis Patnod, Leon, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Alexis Duran, Amy Bowen. I am randomly jumping around, so I should have hit 14 people here. Chris MC, Nick St. Gabriel, John Noble, and Brad P. from NJ. All of you are wonderful supporters of this show. You keep it going. If you want to be part of that crew, see, I remembered to make a new banner right down there.
Look at there. Look at that.
I got that. Isn't that beautiful? If you want to support the show, become a patron. Go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast.
And if you will, please satisfy my OCD and fill in those last two spots in this HTML table.
Or another 14 squares.
Yeah. I'm doing that.
That would help. For as little as $1 a show, you can be one of our announced parties on this show. And we are in the plans of making the long-awaited Technorama buttons. I have a source, a supplier. Our supply chain management team is working feverishly with the design team. That's basically me and Craig.
Yeah, I was saying.
Craig's the design team. I'm
it
the
says push the button, Craig. That's what it says.
I get it. Push the button, Craig. we'll run that idea past the committee.
Yeah, right.
So thank you very much to all of you. You really help. And they get special content that no one else gets to hear unless you're part of that elite group. So thank you very much, patron people. Patreon.com/technoramapodcast for that. Stop the music. And now we can do the Media Corner, right?
Right.
What was that color? That is all color-coded.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and
things?
Over here, Media Corner.
Great. Never going to forget that. Fine, just abort. Craig, where did you find this? This is a Rick and Morty hack to Grand Theft Auto?
First off, have you seen Rick and Morty?
I know of it, but I have not watched it.
Okay, I would suggest if you have Hulu, I know it's on Hulu, you can go watch the first season. Actually, first and second season is on there. And I love it. It's a dark comedy kind of thing. And it's kind of like Back to the Future where you have Doc and Marty.
Yeah.
But you know, their roles are similar but way different. You know, Rick doesn't, he has this blasé attitude about, you know, everything, and he takes Morty out of school all the time on these weird adventures in time and space. That's kind of funny. It's really, I love it. But this video is a mod on top of Grand Theft Auto, and they're flying their ship and going through an adventure, doing their thing, that just like you would see in Grand Theft Auto, with people shooting each other and hitting each other. And it oddly works with the premise of the show. So if you like Grand Theft Auto and you like Rick and Morty, go check it out, because it is kind of fun.
And there's obviously the narration of the gamers is over the top of this. There's three short clips in here. One where they're flying around, and by the music in the background is not entirely safe. It's Grand Theft Auto, by the way. So, you know, that's not kid safe. So don't expect this video to be kid safe.
No. And what's funny is Rick is just going on and on and on about that Szechuan sauce that McDonald's put out years ago.
Yeah, it's going to take them 9 more seasons to get the Szechuan sauce.
Do you know about that Szechuan sauce?
No. There's another one with Morty out on the highway with other Mortys shooting people up. And what are the little blue goons called?
I'm trying to remember what it's called, what they're called, but they were
having a shoot 'em up fest out on the freeway as well.
Yeah, they've kind of replicated themselves. I'm trying to remember now. The blue guys would, they were trying to be super helpful, and they ended up not being as helpful as you'd expect. It's hard to explain, but you have to watch it. Just watch the show.
You want to find out more? The video is available through the links in our show notes, and you can find our show notes, of course, at our website, chuckchat.com/technorama.
Hey, Chuck, by the way, the Szechuan sauce that he's going on and on about.
Yes.
I hadn't thought about it in years, obviously. But what it is McDonald's made this plum teriyaki sauce to go along. It was like a promotion thing for Chicken McNuggets that was tied into the movie Mulan. And they discontinued it. But apparently people have been, and I had no idea, obsessed with it ever since.
Really?
From time to time, some of it pops up on eBay. As you'd expect, as things do.
Oh, that sounds nasty if it's on eBay and it's really old.
Well, I mean, it could be refrigerated, but I can't imagine it's been refrigerated for 30,
it's probably 25. In somebody's desk drawer until they move offices years later.
Yeah, well, by the way, in episode 1 of season 3, he was going on and on about it. That's why you hear it in this video.
Okay.
Apparently, word got back to, Microsoft, McDonald's, and they're looking to potentially bring it back out.
Oh.
Well, and what's even funnier, what's even odder is in 2018, a live version of the movie Mulan is being made. So maybe they can just tie it all in together.
Good thought. They better find the old recipe and start brewing up some new batches.
Well, after Rick was going on about it, I was like, no, I kind of want it. So we'll see.
I didn't have it, so I can't say whether I want it again or not. This past week or the week before was Star Wars Celebration 2017.
Yeah, this past week.
It was a week before. I think it ended on the 17th or something. Anyway. Yes. They showed some never before seen clips with there was an extended Death Star meeting scene.
Hey, if they showed all of the movie with all of the clips that ever filmed for this movie, it would have been a 5-hour movie.
Probably. Everything that ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, everything. They just put it all together.
They also left in, this is original footage before James Earl Jones got a hold of it. So when you hear Vader talk, everybody in the theater laughs. It's really funny.
Don't underestimate the power of this starship or whatever battle station.
And he didn't call it the Force. He called it was termed something else. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It was the Life Force or something.
Yeah, and they referred to him as a Sith Lord.
Yes, it was the first time the Sith was ever mentioned. No matter what technical data we might get in trouble with YouTube on this if we don't talk over it. Listen. I suggest we use it. Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've created. The ability to destroy a planet, indeed, a whole system,
is insignificant.
It's the power.
Compared with the cosmic force.
Cosmic force. That's what it was. Okay. Yeah. Now we're probably going to yell that by Facebook. You can't post that. You have copyright material in there.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they wouldn't recognize his voice, would they? And there's one rare scene. They also showed one with Tarkin messed up his line. It was really good.
Yeah. That was funny to see him actually
he stopped for a second. What was it? Yeah, because you really don't see Peter Cushing do that all that often. So it was a rare moment, and I'm glad they shared that stuff.
His Peter Cushing's face is, I always remember it being kind of plastic.
It was plastic in Rogue One, you know, that's for sure.
Actually, I thought it kind of matched him pretty well.
It did, but the telltale was the same as in Tron. The mouth gives it away. It's really hard. There's something like 100 different muscles that move around to make your lips and mouth move in a natural way. And you can only put so many of those little white dots, even if you're doing motion capture, to get it right. But
it was pretty close.
It was close. They're getting better, but I'm just saying it wasn't perfect.
Why didn't they use the stand-in actor's mouth? You ever seen those cartoons where they superimpose?
It's going to look like Clutch Cargo.
That's it.
No, let's not.
But I mean, you could do it a little better. I'm just saying.
We will crush the rebellion. Okay, someone's going to do that. Or it's going to look like Robot Chicken.
I think they could use the CG and mix that together, not necessarily look as crappy.
That's a big challenge. That's a big challenge. But yeah,
actually, I would like to see it with. You know, the, okay. That's funny.
That's half tempting to do. If I had the time and talent to do it, I would do it.
Imagine the director sitting there talking. You know, he's leading into this. We're going to show you this clip. Where we use CG to bring together Peter Cushing into the new one.
Keep in mind, this is only a proof of concept.
Just the mouth moving. Somebody holding a stick mask with the mouth moving. Remember? That's funny.
This is what we're thinking. This is how we're thinking of bringing Tarkin back. Keep in mind, this is only a proof of concept. Okay. Speaking of things coming back, The X-Files is coming back.
Yes.
Did you watch the last season?
No. I'd missed it.
No.
I've been waiting for it to show up somewhere. Well, I've been looking, waiting for it to show up on Netflix or something.
Amazon.
And it hasn't quite showed up. So I missed it for whatever reason. I couldn't watch it. I want to watch it.
I found out that
I really liked it.
Mystery Science Theater worked out. So they'll bring back the X-Files.
Yeah, they're actually aliens on there.
They have to do a Turkey Day marathon to make it work.
Yeah, I know.
The X-Files is coming back yet again after its limited 10th season last year. The show will return for another limited season either late this year or early in 2018. Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny will both reprise their roles for the show, which will run 10 episodes. This was more or less expected by fans of the show, with the biggest issue being scheduling on their behind-the-scenes issues. Everyone said they wanted to come back, but the executives didn't exactly pass that information along to the stars. Nevertheless, all that is in the past now, and Chris Carter's signature show is a go.
Should we let David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson know?
Minor details. Iconic characters, rich storytelling, bold creators. These are the hallmarks of great TV shows. And there are some of the reasons why The X-Files has been such a profound impact on millions of fans worldwide, said Fox Broadcasting Company Prez David Madden in a press release. Chris's creativity, along with the brilliant work of David and Gillian, continue to propel this pop culture phenomenon. And we can't wait to see what fresh mysteries Mulder and Scully uncover in the next chapter of The X-Files. We're just glad they're coming back after that finale last season. Okay, now I'm tempted to go watch it.
Yeah, now if you've seen it and you have an opinion on it, let us know.
You bet. How can they get in touch with us, Craig?
Why, I don't know. How can they?
There ought to be some phone number.
Yeah, maybe.
Like the one on the screen.
707-530-CHAT or 2408.
We need some singers like the Empire Carpet people do.
707-530-CHAT. 284-28.
867-5309.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I want to ask you real quick before we go. Now that you've actually got a chance to see MST3K, what'd you think?
I'm enjoying it. My daughter Lisa is still deciding whether she likes it or likes it better than the old ones, which means she actually did watch some of the old ones. I am enjoying it. I watched the first two, Reptilicus and Cry Wilderness. Oh, my, I was crying.
Wilderness! The whole way
through this. I was crying the whole way through that thing. Trumpy, no. these are painful, but I like the way they're getting through them. The updated bots are very well done, as Grant suggested. We are enjoying that. And every once in a while, I have to get used to Gypsy just coming down the left side of the screen, picking up a picnic basket and leaving.
Here she's bringing their snacks.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, either that or she's stealing from Yogi Bear.
Yeah, I agree with one of the reviewers. I read that he said, it's the show as it is now is like it never went away, and this is how it kind of would have progressed to.
We're starting to get more backstory into Kinga Forrester when Grandma Pearl came by. You know, so it's nice to see cameos by some of the old characters. That's fun.
Hey, and I know as soon as I saw that for the Reptilicus, the song, I was like, that's right up Chuck's alley right there. Every country has a month.
Oh, every country. I was thinking about the rap song.
That was it. Every country has a
month. Oh, yep. That's good talent. I mean, there's more to this than just riffing on movies. They've got to come up with the inventions. They got to come up with the skits between. I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into this. So kudos to them for bringing it back and doing it very well.
That had to have been a tough one to work through, but it was good.
I can't wait. Craig and I are going to save one for when we get together. Either at Knowledge Conference, if we can carve out any time for that, or.
Imagine before the conference gets started.
Saturday.
Yeah.
We'll do that. Okay. We'll watch one Saturday because we haven't ever had the opportunity to watch a Mystery Science Theater.
A fresh one
together. So that's
maybe we should record that and Misty the Misty.
Maybe. I was giving that some thought, but maybe we can record it. I don't know if we'll ever do anything with it. We have to wrap this up though. We're running a little long. Thank you very much for joining us on Facebook Live. You can do that.
Keep going.
Every Sunday night at 9:30. And what else am I missing? Oh, question of the week. We have a question this time. We appreciate your answers from the past questions, and you don't have to answer it the exact week because we're going to be off for a couple of weeks. So you got time. If you listen to this on May 1st, you're fine. If you listen to this on May 8th, you're fine. We got work and personal stuff. We're not going to be doing another show until May 21st.
That long?
Because we have next week, I've got no video engineer, so it makes it really tough to do the show.
We could always just record it.
We could just audio? Then the Facebook people would miss out. And all the pictures and fun. We won't be able to do anything on videos. And then the week after that, we've got our conference. And the week after that, we're back from the conference. So we're not going to have a time in about 48 hours to pull together a show.
And honestly, after the conference, I'm kind of taking that weekend off. That Friday,
everybody is fried. Everybody is fried. Yeah. So it's not surprising that we won't have one on the, what is that, the 8th? No. Yeah? Yeah. No. No. It's the 23rd ninth, now, ninth. So it'll be the 30th. The 7th? Is a Sunday. Seventh is a Sunday. The 14th is a Sunday. So the 21st is the next show when we're recording.
Right.
Okay. Whew. They're all on divisions of seven this year, this next month.
Right.
Good thing. So we want to hear from you, whether it's how many steps you take at a time or what movie do you want to unwatch and forget and rewatch freshly, or what do you want to like but just can't? That's our question this week. I was almost, at first I thought I said, who do you want to like, but just can't?
Yeah. What do you want to like, but just can't? For me, it's the Cars. I just cannot like the Cars.
I love the Cars.
It doesn't work for me.
I was introduced to them. It's funny because I always think of who introduced me to this music when I hear something. And there's one guy in high school I still keep in touch with on Facebook that introduced me to the Cars. Oh, wait, no, make that two people. Scott Reynolds was a big Cars fan, and I kind of got into it.
Or the Talking Heads.
So it could be music. It could be a food. It could be a movie. It could be an actor. It could be an ideology. Bring it up. It could be the president of the United States.
Well, let's don't get political. Hey, I'll tell you, the other one I didn't like is the Talking Heads. Just didn't do anything for me.
There were a couple.
I hate that song, Take Me to the River by the Talking Heads. Sucks.
Their lyrics were very artistic, which is my polite way of saying they didn't make a flap of sense to my brain. It was kind of like Yes lyrics. A lot of the lyrics from Yes songs. Did I mishear that? I mean, even when I see them in print, it's like, okay, it still doesn't make any sense. But anyway, let us know. Call us on the listener line, 707-530-CHAT, 707-530-2428, or send us an email, technoramachuckchat.com. Leave us a comment on Facebook, and we will talk to you next week. Thank you very much. Where's my ending music? There it is. Now I'm feeling the love. Thank you once again to our patrons, and thank you for joining us on Facebook. We look forward to talking to you in a few weeks. 4 weeks, to be exact. Four. Would you do that like Spock?
Yeah.
Four weeks. You got a four. That's five. Okay. Fold your thumb. Yeah. I could tell you in binary, but, you know, it's profanity.
What?
You know, one, two, three.
Oh, I got you. Never mind. I see the camera now.
Till next time. Tell a friend about Technorama. Thanks for sharing, all you people on Facebook that did that. Sharing the video, sharing it around. And give me a binary high five, Craig, and we'll call it a night.
All right. 101.
Take care, everybody.